met my wife in 1981 when we both entered into Rutgers University to matriculate through there and try to have an athletic career. And when I met her, she sang to me and I cried. And since then, she may not see it, but it's when she sings, it still bring a tear to my eye. After all these years, amen. So I am in agreement with you. Thank you for First Lady. Thank you for this great church. We had a wonderful time at 8 o'clock service. Thank you for allowing me to be myself. I'm not your particular or your everyday preacher, for I left the church at an early age and came back to the church at a later date. And I didn't have all the accoutrements of preaching, and I didn't come up under preachers, Andy. I didn't come up knowing all the things of the church. But I felt something in my heart after doing all the things that I should not have done in the world, and now the Lord has blessed me. He put something in my heart that I share with the world now. So I thank you for your pastor, who I want to tell him that I've run and I've been with, and I'm friends with a lot of people you may know, you have heard of, you watched on television, my wife and I. And I've played basketball with Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, all the names you may have known down through the years for their talent. And I'm still a good friends with them. But I want your pastor to also know that you're my friend too. Amen. And amen. Amen. And I may not ever see you on TV and all that stuff, and you may not have your name in lights, but it's in my heart. And I appreciate you and your lovely wife, who my church has gotten to love so much. Thank God for you all. I have one of my deacons here and one of my ministers here. Will you all just wave back there? I saw you earlier, and they're from New Shield of Faith. Amen. I want to thank everybody in the 8 o'clock service. We had a wonderful time, and a lot of my members was here, but they had to transfer and get ready for the 11 o'clock service in Atlanta, for there's great work to do everywhere. Amen. So God bless you. Today, I want to encourage your heart from an Old Testament text in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Chapter number 3. Thank you for the choir. What a wonderful. You all made my heart burn. Thank you for wonderful renditions. Exodus chapter number 3. We're only going to read a couple of verses, starting with verse number 7 and half of verse number 8. Exodus chapter number 3. Thank you very much for standing for the word of God. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 7. And here you have those words, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. I have heard the afflictions of my people, and I have come now to bring them out and to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. This morning, for a couple of minutes, I want to talk about an encouraging word from the Lord. An encouraging word from the Lord. That's what I want to talk about, an encouraging word from the Lord. You may be seated. An encouraging word from the Lord. It is preachers' responsibilities and ministers and people who are working for God, not only to look after the things of the church and the things of the temple and the things of First Baptist and the things of New Shield of Faith and the things of Spread the Word, but we ought to encourage the people. We ought to encourage the people with a word not of ours, but the word from Scripture, or the word from the Lord. And I found that the Lord can encourage people much better than I. The Lord can do greater things with His word than any words that I have been taught. Yes, I have been educated at some of the finest schools. I have got a 3 degrees from Rutgers University, one in criminal justice, one in black history studies, and another one in social studies and women's studies. Yes, I have matriculated through Beulah Heights University, and in 4 years got my master's in biblical studies. Yes, I have matriculated through the Interdenominational Theological Center and got a master's from ITC. And yes, I have a doctoral degree from Dayton University called United University, and I've been in school for the last 16 years. Someone probably saying, what is wrong with you? I have all that education, and when I go to encourage somebody, I still need the words from the Lord. I need the words from the Lord because He's the great encourager. He lifts us up. He lifts us up with His words. He lifts us up with his promises. He lifts us up with all the things that He can do. So when you are trying to encourage somebody, and I believe that's why Deacon Roundtree folk come to church, they want an encouraging word from the Lord. To help them during the day, during the hours that they spend, and during the troubles that they have to endure, they will love an encouraging word from the Lord, something to get them by, to get them over. They don't need to borrow your money, they don't need to come and get a handout, but somebody just needs an encouraging word, something to say that everything is going to be all right. Something to say that the Lord is a healer and a deliverer, and He's a sustainer, and He's a provider. Those are encouraging words from the Lord. And if the church needed anything now, it is an encouraging word. And not only the church, but the world. We need an encouraging word from the Lord. To let us know that despite what you're going through, everything is going to be all right. And I found this word to share with First Baptist this morning, and I found it in the book of Exodus and with our brother Moses, who has now, the scripture says that Joseph is dead and God is raising up a new leader
a new leader to help the people who have been in bondage a long time. A new leader that does not only walk with God, but talks with God and will give the people an encouraging word. He may have took a long time. Scripture talks about many years to get there, but now the Lord finds it the time, and the Lord does stuff in his time, and he finds it time for the people to come out of what is holding them, come out of what is keeping them away from having a relationship with God. And some people just come to church, but I know everything is done in God's time. Some people come and then leave church, and then they come back. Well, that's because everything is done in God's time. Your deliverance will come in God's time. Your healing will come in God's time. Your forgiveness, don't try to push stuff. Just stay in the will of God. And sometime the Lord, you'll find that the Lord will work it out. He will work it out. You just need to come to church and continue to be encouraged and continue to live the life that the Lord asked of each and every one of us. And now he sends Moses down in this text, and he tells Moses to tell the people of Atlanta and tell the people of Noonan and give them an encouraging word. He continues to talk to us and tells us, here's your encouraging word. And he says, I've seen the afflictions of my people. In other words, what he's telling us, he knows everything that we're going through. It's nothing that you're going through that the Lord does not know about. It's nothing that you've been through that the Lord does not know about. It's nothing that's going to happen in your life that the Lord has not already know about. He says, I've heard the afflictions of my people. He says, I've heard because there has been so many prayers that has come up to me. And many people are praying up to God. And now the Bible says that I am ready to come down. Watch this. It's a wonderful thing that God is sitting high and looking low. But here in the text, he says, now I'm coming down. And it's a great thing when the Lord is here with us. He's not just on the throne, but it's evidence in my heart that the Lord is with us. He's down here. He's down here. He's not just sitting up there, but he goes to work with you. He goes to school with you. He's at home with you. He's in church with you. He's everywhere that you are. He's at Kroger with you. He's at Walmart with you. He's down here. And when you're facing the most difficult times in your life, it is an encouraging thing to know that the Lord is here with us. So he's come down. He's come down. He's come down. And I need a little bit of participation with me today. He's come down. And when I say come down, everybody should say he's come. Okay, you getting it. The Lord has come. Okay, good. We're almost there. He's come down. He's with us. The Lord has come. He's come down. I remember when I was a young boy, and I had 10 brothers and sisters, 3 girls and 3, 7 boys. So it was rough in the house. And I was one of the youngest, Pastor Patterson. I was one of the youngest, and my brothers used to always beat on me. And Mama's room was upstairs, and my brothers used to always beat on me. And they used to play games, and they used to trip me up. I would run past, and they would stick their feet out, and I would fall, and I would just start crying, and then they would run over. And I would say, I'm going to call Mama, and she's upstairs. And they would, I would start calling upstairs, and they would put their hand over my mouth and say, don't call upstairs. And then they would just beat on me again and treat me all bad. And then I would run to the steps and I'd say, Mama, they messing with me. And they would get me and hold me. And then I would run back to the steps. Mama, they are messing with me. And then all of a sudden, after calling Mama for so long, then Mama couldn't took it no more. She couldn't stand it no more. All the prayers and all the yelling upstairs, you hear Mama coming downstairs. Oh, I'm coming down after all of this. And I'm here to tell somebody that if you keep praying to God, he's no longer going to sit up on a throne, but he's going to come down and find out what is wrong with you. Because I was yelling for God and he's come. Oh, y'all here with me today. He's come down and he says, all he's heard is the afflictions of our people which are in Egypt. And now I've come down. And he says, not only that, Andy, watch this. He says, I've come down to bring them out. Because the Lord just not coming down, but he has a purpose to it. He says, I'm coming down to bring them out. And whatever you're into and whatever has got you in bondage and whatever is messing with you, the Lord just not going to come down, but he's going to bring you out. Oh, yeah. And he specializes in bringing folk out. He brings them out of the hospital. He brings them out of situations and things. He brings them out of uncomfortable places. The Lord has come to bring you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's an encouraging word. Yes. Yes. Ain't that a wonderful thing? First Baptist, you are a great audience. He's come to bring you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's come down to bring us out. And not only that, when he brings us out, we have a relationship with him. And we have a wonderful thing. And he says, I come down to bring them out. And not only that, he says, I come down to bring them out, to take them up. Because he knows that it's just not good enough to come down and to bring us out. But we got to go somewhere from that. And he says everything else from here is up. Amen. So First Baptist with me, he's come to bring us, to take us into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And the first thing he says, not just a land, he says a large land. Because the Lord is big and he does everything on a large scale. Watch this. He says, I remember, I don't want to tell my wife this or my church this because they try to keep me healthy, to try to keep me around to preach for them. But sometimes I like to eat unhealthy stuff. I don't want to encourage nobody, but that's just me. So sometimes I don't have time, you know, to cook the food and make the salads and stuff. So I stop off at a place called McDonald's. I don't know if anybody in Noonan ever heard one of that, but it's called McDonald's. And, you know, I order, and I have this thing I order. I don't know if it's a number 7. It used to be, but it was called a fish and filet meal. Yeah, and it's one of those numbers. I don't know the exact number anymore. I just say, when I look at it, I say, give me that number. And it's a fish and filet. And every now and again, I give me apple pie. Yeah, but if you notice, you can get 2 for a dollar. That's a big deal. And the thing about it is, the great thing about it is, I just learned that if you're feeling a little bit hungrier than what you thought, you can tell them to supersize it. And you can enlarge everything. And that's what the Lord has done for the children of Israel. He enlarged it. He said, I'm taking you to a land and I will supersize it. He said, a large land, and it'll be flowing. He says, because I've come to bring you, to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. That milk. Now, I'm not from the South. I'm from D.C.
Everything was canned. Everything was at the grocery store. We didn't do any farming. So I told my church, don't expect too many sermons on harvesting, because I don't know any. But I do know that, you know, when they're talking about land that's flowing with milk and honey, I found out where the milk comes from. And I found out that the milk comes from the cow. Yeah, the milk comes from the cow, but you just don't ask the cow for the milk and it comes out. So in order to move into your promised land and to get the milk and to go up with God, then you have to do something. And I asked my wife, because she used to be on the farm, and she said, well, you got to go and you got to get behind the cow and you got to step in some stuff you don't want to step into, and then you gotta push it, and you gotta pull, and you gotta strain, and you gotta push, and sometimes it don't come out, but you gotta keep pushing and pulling, and then the milk start to come. What am I trying to say? I'm saying sometime in life you just gotta keep going and keep praying and keep pulling, and then you will get your milk. Oh yeah, because sometimes life, you can't stop doing ministry, Patterson. You got to keep going. You can't stop doing ministry, Andy. You got to keep going. You got to keep praying for folk. You got to keep going to the hospital, because the Lord has come to bring us, to take us into this land flowing with milk. And we have spent time and hustling and trying and taking care of folk. And now we are going to a large land and it's going to be flowing with milk. But we got to talk about the honey. We can talk about the milk. But in order for you to get your honey, the honey, I found out, that comes from the bee. Oh, yeah. And sometimes you get stung. Oh, yeah. To get sometime in ministry, sometime in life, you get stung. But you come into church and you get your encouraging word from the Lord, and it's almost like spiritual Benadryl, and when you have swollen up because somebody has stung you, now you come into church and you take your spiritual Benadryl and you go out and you have enough to last and enough to conquer the world, because the Lord has come. And he bought us, and he's taken us into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. And I know the Lord has my land, and he's taken me somewhere. I didn't think that long time ago. I was playing in a basketball game down in Atlanta. It was once called the Omni. And we was playing, and then we took a flight to a place called Seattle, Washington. And I didn't feel like I was myself, but I felt like something was wrong with me. And we were playing a team called the Seattle Supersonics. And I was about ready to get in the game, but I found out that I had fallen asleep on the bench. And the coach comes down and they ask, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know, there's something's wrong. And when they got back, came back to Atlanta, they diagnosed me with 30 days to live. They diagnosed me with hepatitis B, something I did not know what, nor did the doctors were very fluent in what was going on with my body. I was one of the most conditioned athletes, but something had got into my bloodstream, and I had to stop playing basketball. I was in the rotation. I was one of the best players on the team. And I had to stop in Atlanta.
And the doctor says, well, if you make it the next 30 days, we can't give you anything because we don't know what to give you. And they said, you have 30 days to live. And I called my mama and called my grandmother and told them the situations. And they asked me to come home at least to be with them. So I packed up. I'm a full NBA player. I packed up and went home just to be with them for a while. During the course of the time, my grandmother got very ill right when I got there. And she was in her last days of living. And it seemed like when I went to the hospital to see her for the last time, it seemed like she touched me. She touched my eyes, she touched my face, and she told me she loved me. And she told me she'll never see me again. But she said, you're gonna be all right. And she touched my eyes and touched my face. And I felt the Lord come down. Now, the one thing you missed is I said that was in 1987. When they gave me 30 days to live. And right when I felt life come back into me, Dr. Patterson, and I felt strength come back into me, and I felt myself building energy at that very time, when she touched me, she passed away. And God was telling me that day that I have took her, who was a holiness preacher, so you can finish her work. And I saved your life. I came down. I brought you out. Now I'm going to take you up. And this land will be flowing with milk and honey. It is the word of the Lord that has encouraged my life. It is the word of the Lord that has fixed me. And forever will I reign in his presence. So if you're here, please don't discount the encouraging word from the Lord. That we have somewhere to go. We have something to do. And I thank God that he's allowed me to live in this day. That's your encouraging word for the Lord. God bless you.